However, the more I get to know him, the more I don't want it to be a fantasy. I want him to be in my life, and I'm enjoying the fact that this weekend we're not feeling like we have to be a secret anymore. Jesse deserves better than being treated like some sort of dirty little secret. He deserves a man who wants to show him off, who's proud of him, which I am. So incredibly proud. Young as he is, he's not some kid. He's a man who's been through more than most people would ever guess, something I can appreciate. As we begin our drive, Jesse takes my phone, scanning through my music selection. "Who the hell is Kate Bush?" he asks. "Are you kidding me right now? She's only one of the greatest musical artists ever to walk the earth." "Never heard of her." He turns on the music, and I recognize Kate Bush's soothing voice and the sweet melody as "And So Is Love" fills the air. But as quickly as I start enjoying the song, Jesse makes a gagging sound. "Would you prefer to have One Direction on through the drive?" "Shut the fuck up. You know I don't listen to One Direction," he says with a laugh. "What about one of those podcasts you're always telling me about?" "Really?" he asks, seeming excited that I brought it up. This is more the kid version of him.
"I'd love to listen to one, if you really want."
"Yeah, I'd like to hear where you find out some of those stories you tell me about."
"Okay, I'll find one. There are some I listen to that are kind of like listening to NPR, but I want to introduce you with something that's a little more on the funny side. I bet we can find something that works. And then if you're really appalled, we can put on this screeching voice you call music."
"I can't believe you said that about Kate Bush." As I turn to him, he smirks in a way that lets me know he's enjoying pushing my buttons. It reminds me of a button I really want him to hit. Something I'm eager and excited and nervous at the same time about sharing with him later. On the long drive, we share some of his podcasts, and he indulges me with some of my music, which at one point he admits he's not totally against, and that I have some decent taste, aside from the fact that he thinks Kate Bush is shit, which is a fucking lie. We stop at a Wendy's for lunch. "Come on, let's go inside," I say.
"Inside? Oh, around people. Well, what if the paparazzi catch us?"
Jesse teases. "Oh, I'm sure it'll be plastered all over the internet. We'll be the talk of TMZ. He laughs as we get out of the car and head inside. As we stand in line, scanning the menu posted behind the registers, Jesse asks me,
"What do you think you're getting?"
"2 10-piece nuggets. That's usually what I get."
"What a coincidence. I get the nuggets too. I actually usually get it with a bowl of chili."
"Bowl of chili sounds nice," I say.
"If you're going to follow through with that thing you mentioned last night, I wouldn't recommend the chili."
No, I wasn't actually planning on having it, but I have enjoyed Wendy's chili from time to time. This expression he's making at me is cheeky, but he looks skeptical, like he's wondering if I'm going to make good on the offer I made. A part of me doesn't want to follow through, but I push that voice aside. I've entertained it for too long, and now Jesse's awakened something within me. This desire. This need. I want to explore it, and I feel comfortable exploring it with him. After we order, we get our drinks and take our trays through the restaurant, passing the other patrons, a lot of families with kids. As we sit, my back to the wall so that I can see all the people behind Jesse, I truly appreciate we're here in public and that I'm not nervous or worried about being caught. Because of how much I like this guy, I like having him in my life. I like getting to know him more. I'm certainly not ashamed of what I feel for him.
"Why are you looking at me like that?"
he asks, those thick, dark brows pushing together. He has such a boyish face at times, but when he pulls his brows together like that, stern and serious, he looks so mature. "You don't think it's kind of nice being able to do this?" He glances behind him and then at me. He tucks his face low and glances up at me, almost sheepishly, and there's the boy all over again, like a kid who's appreciating something he shouldn't be.
I like it a lot, actually. I'm excited about doing it a lot more. He's not teasing or being playful, just admitting that he's into me, which in some ways is startling. It surprises me that someone like him would desire me, and I feel lucky that's the case. I savor my chicken nuggets, feeling a little deprived of chili. He doesn't dip his nuggets in any sauce, something I take note of, whereas I'm getting globs of barbecue all over mine before I inhale them. I don't want to take up all the sauce, I say. No, I don't need any sauce.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a sauce kind of guy.
There's one sauce I know you're into.
He laughs. Well, they don't exactly have that behind the register, and I prefer to have it, a la carte.
He jokes. There's only one way to take that, but I'm pretty sure it's totally inappropriate to be saying that so loud in this setting.
I'm sorry, he says before whispering, a la carte.
Shut the fuck up, I say.
I think the F-bomb is worse than me saying a la carte,
little bastard.
We finish our meals and then get back on the road. He gets talking about some of the podcasts we've listened to. He's very opinionated about some of the topics that come up, asking for my thoughts, which I'm eager to provide. It's a stimulating conversation, and I'm fascinated because this wasn't my idea of what would happen. I imagine we'd be discussing music or making random conversations on a long drive the way we typically do at my condo, but this is so seamless. I can see where some of his everyday conversations come from now that I'm listening to these with him. That he stays informed and enjoys absorbing new information and sharing it with others. His enthusiasm about it is contagious. Electric. I'm so enchanted by our conversation that I'm kind of disappointed as we get close to the campsite. Like with so many nights we share, I feel like I could keep this going forever. God, sorry, I'm rambling again, he says, catching himself in the middle of one of his energetic monologues. Sorry, you don't care about any of this.
That's not true. I do care, and I'm actually listening to you, which is why I'm so quiet right now. Jesse, you really do have very interesting opinions about all this, and I just... It's things I've never even thought about, so I'm having a very good time hearing you share them.
Oh, well, then, in that case, allow me to bore you a little more.
He picks right back up where he left off without missing a beat, and as he sits there, moving his hands about wildly, expressing his frustration and excitement, I find myself wondering who the fuck is this amazing man sitting beside me.
Jesse. We park the car by our campsite before Eric guides us to a trail he researched before we arrived. With the map app on his phone pulled up, he leads the way. We follow a path that winds around the lake to some docks, and as we step into a parking lot for the rental boat companies, I say, I think we're getting a little off trail here.
Really?
Eric says.
I think this is actually exactly where we need to be.
He beams like he's so goddamn proud of himself. And I realize I've been had.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Not even a little. I shake my head as he leads me down to the dock. And when did you plan all this?
I already have my boating license, and I've been renting through this company for a few years. They have rentals out west and in the southeast. It's one of the reasons I picked this spot.
Aren't you a clever motherfucker?
I have my moments.
Yes, he does. After checking in at an office beside the dock, an attendant leads us to one of the motorboats, white with a wide blue stripe around it. We board, and Eric drives us out onto the lake, which glistens with sparkling specks of sunlight. I lounge on a cushioned seat across the back, spreading my feet out on the floor. Eric's hair blows back in the wind as he sits behind the steering wheel, shades on, shirt off. Though we're only in late March, the weather is plenty warm. We're lucky with how everything worked out. It's evident, by the way Eric drives, that he's done this on plenty of occasions. We wave to other boaters, and like at Wendy's, there's this weight off my shoulders. We're not hiding or trying to be discreet. It doesn't feel like a weighty, dark secret now that we're free to move around in public. I don't think I realized how oppressive that feeling was until today. While I do feel a sort of freedom, there's still that lingering discomfort, because the one person who needs to know still doesn't. Eric finds a cove, anchors the boat, and grabs his backpack. "Think it's time to make sure you put on some sunscreen," he tells me, retrieving the bottle from his backpack. "Oh, what? You think I'm gonna go crazy and not put any on like that one day?" "Not gonna risk it. I've gotta protect that pretty face." "I have a few ideas of what you want to do to this pretty face." "You mean things I've already done to that face?" I laugh, rising to my feet as he says, "Take your clothes off." "What? Take your goddamn clothes off." You didn't warn me about this excursion, so I left my swimming trunks in the car. I wasn't planning on you wearing anything. "Well, that sounds like a really shitty idea," I say, "because now that you said that, my dick's hard." "What exactly is the problem?" "You're not suggesting we go skinny dipping right now." "That's exactly what I'm suggesting. I mean," he glances around, "are you worried someone out here is going to catch us?" I picked a quiet place to make sure we'd have some privacy. "You like secluded areas, don't you?" I say, recalling when he took me out to that private beach in Mexico. "Don't you have fun when I take you to secluded places, Jesse?" I roll my eyes. "I can't believe I'm doing this. And here I thought I was the kid," I say, before removing my tank top. I start to take off my shorts when I notice Eric just standing there. "You're gonna take off your clothes too, I assume. I was gonna watch you first." I snicker, kicking off my shoes and removing my shorts. As I pull off my socks, he's still watching me, and my dick keeps getting harder. I glance around. "You might have to suck me off," I tell him. "I would. But I want to save that big, throbbing dick of yours for later. I have plans for it." I'm excited all over again, enjoying how he keeps suggesting what he plans to share with me, this thing I've been looking forward to. Yet I'm also a little nervous because I know about the discomfort he gets around that subject, and I don't want to do anything that makes him uneasy or feel like he can't do this with me. I'm cautious, doing my best to pay attention and make sure if we do this, it's what he wants. "You still have to lose those trunk boxers," he tells me. "Uh-huh. That I am saving until I have to pull them off." "Okay. Just turn around so I can put some sunscreen on you." I turn around, and he lathers some across my back. He moves slowly, seemingly purposely to get me hard, massaging my muscles, kneading my flesh. He brings his hands around to my front, pushing up close so I can feel his own girth. Certainly, if he changes his mind about bottoming tonight, I won't have any problem picking up the slack. As his hands move up to my chest and squeeze, he pushes closer. He slides his head beside mine and kisses my cheek. I turn to him so that our lips are right in front of one another's. "I think you got a little distracted," I say.
"I think so, too. Is that a problem?"
"Only if you don't kiss me right now." His lips meet mine once again. It's so satisfying. I take it in, enjoying the moment, lose myself in it. He brings one hand up to my throat, holding it there gently. As he gets harder, so do I. "You have to stop," I warn him.
"Why?"
"Because if you want me to save anything for later, you're gonna have to keep me from blowing right now. I hate having to say it. Hell, I wouldn't mind us tossing all our plans aside and fucking here on the floor of the boat." He groans before forcing himself back. He picks up the bottle of sunscreen, which I hadn't even noticed he'd discarded on the seat across the back of the boat. Putting some more lotion in his hands, he starts taking care of my chest and torso. "I can put sunscreen on, you know," I insist.
"I'd rather do it myself."
I let him continue his work. He takes care of my arms and my legs down to my feet. The way he looks at each part he takes care of is so intense, as though he's lost in some deep thought, fully appreciating every part of me. I've never felt so probed and scrutinized before, but in a good way, since I know he likes what he sees. Finally, when I think he's finished, he rises up and looks into my eyes. Now, I tell him, I think it's only fair I have a turn. I'm not done yet, he says, shaking his head. Don't want to forget this pretty face, do I? I don't laugh at that, can't laugh at that, because he's so serious. He still has some lotion in his hand, and he puts it against my face gently on one side, and then on the other. With both hands, his thumbs at the bottom of my cheeks, he runs them in circles around my face, moving slowly, carefully, making sure not to miss a spot. He keeps looking in my eyes, and then he stops his hands and leans forward, offering another kiss, very soft and gentle. I move forward quickly, wrapping my arms around him. We enjoy it together, before he pulls away again and finishes applying the lotion to my face. He tosses me the bottle when he's done and says, "Now, your turn." I admire his body, those muscles I'm used to seeing in dimmer light in his condo. I appreciate it so much more now because it reminds me of when we first met and I got to see it on the beach, out in the wild, free. We're really free. He continues stripping down, and I take advantage of him the same way he did me, moving extra slow on every part of his body. I pull the band of his briefs toward me as I slide my hand underneath slightly. "Now I feel like I didn't do as good a job," he says. "Aw, you did just fine," I assure him. We take a few moments and share some more kisses until we're both glistening with sunscreen, stripped down to our underwear, about to take the plunge at the back of the boat. I glance around uneasily once more. "Even if someone was around," Eric says, "I don't think they're going to fuck with two guys who are nude on the back of a boat, do you? It's a fucking lake. It's not the first time they're going to see anyone skinny dipping." I hook my thumbs in my boxers. "I'll count it down," he says. 3, 2, 1. I quickly slide them down because I know I have to commit and go for it, and as soon as I'm stepping out of them, I turn and see he hasn't done a goddamn thing. "Hey!" I shout. He smiles before giving me a quick shove that sends me into the water, leaving my boxers on the boat. I hit the water and am engulfed in the cool temperature that lets me know just what a perfect day this is for our outing. As I break through the water surface, I see Eric still on the boat, his hip kicked out to the side, those tiny briefs revealing the thick length of his hard dick. "You fucking asshole," I tell him. He's beaming, fucking loving how he duped me with that. He bursts into laughter, and it's such a fun, playful laugh that I can't help but be mesmerized by it, and kind of glad that it was his prank on me that led to him enjoying the moment so much.
"Okay, okay," he says. "Sorry about that."
He drops trow and turns quickly, displaying his ass.
"That's my way of saying sorry," he says, before jumping in beside me.
He swims to my side. "I could fucking hit you for that," I say.
"Admit it, you liked it. You were smiling as much as I was when you came up."
"Fair enough. Now stop complaining and kiss me." I lean forward, and he splashes water in my face. "You fucker," I say, splashing back. He stops as I keep going and go, "Sorry, sorry, sorry." That was mean. Last tease of the day. I let my guard down, and he comes at me, puts an arm around me, and pulls me close, offering that kiss as we swim in place, those lips reassuring me that the teasing is over. Not that I minded it. We spend some time in the water, goofing around before we get out and dry off, struggling to keep our hands to ourselves. Soon we're kissing on the boat floor, stiff dicks pressed up against each other, the heat of the sun on my back. I start thrusting because I can't help myself. And he grips my hip. He says. Like I said, we're saving all that for tonight. He takes my hand and slides it down so I can feel his ass cheek. The expression on his face is warm. Sincere. He seems so much more relaxed than when we shared that first time. When I went a little further than it seemed I should. The fact that he's willing to be so much more open with me and that we're able to have this moment reminds me of the one thing that stands between us, really, right now. What? He asks, seeming to read my expression. Nothing. I don't want to ruin the moment. Say what's on your mind. I'm curious. This is going to be such a buzzkill, but I was thinking how nice it's going to be when we talk to Ty. I'll really like that, too. I don't like that it's gone this long. I know he's going to hate me. Well, he's not going to hate me any less, I assure him. No, it's just, it feels like a shitty thing to be doing behind his back. He's going to feel betrayed. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in his shoes. I agree. But I keep playing it over and over again in my head. What do we say? How do we do it? His gaze drifts momentarily. I thought, maybe one of us should do it. But then, if it was you, I feel like I don't get a chance to say my piece, and then if it's me, you don't get a chance to say yours. And it's really the crappiest of situations, because then if we do it together, it seems like we're almost ganging up on him. I've thought the same thing, I say. What did we do wrong? Jesse, I thought it was so unlikely anything would come of this, and then at the same time, there was always that feeling that there was something about us that meant more. I know, Eric, I've been feeling almost as guilty as you must about this, but there wasn't any way we could have planned for this, or know how to deal with it. What we did isn't right, and I think all we can do is talk to him and hope he'll understand none of us could have planned for this crazy, fucked up scenario. Right. This is definitely Jerry Springer worthy. I chuckle. What? He asks. That's a very dated reference. I get it, but most people wouldn't say Jerry Springer. What would they say? Not sure. Maybe some reality show craziness? Real Housewives or something? Just something a little more current. Are you insinuating I'm old? Eric asks in an over-dramatic way. He smiles before offering another kiss. There's an ease about how we're kissing. Like now that we're actually close to talking to Ty, we don't have to carry this guilt that's been bogging us down. At the same time, I know that when it will happen, it won't be ease either of us will be experiencing. Yet I don't think any amount of trying to mentally prepare myself for that moment will help. Bad as it may get, angry as Ty may be at me, I'll feel a hell of a lot better being honest than I am keeping this from him.
Eric, we had such an incredible day, and I'm thrilled that I could surprise Jesse with our boat outing. I wanted to take him on the floor of the boat, abandon our plans for the evening, but I restrained my desire to give Jesse everything he wanted in that moment because I knew he would appreciate the pleasure so much more that night. At first, it was just the thought of wanting it, of enjoying the way Jesse's able to take control and make me want to submit to him. Then there was knowing it's something he wants, something that when I look at him and see how excited he gets at the mere thought, like when I displayed my ass for him on the boat, it's so life-giving. When we return to our campsite, we prepare it, pitching the tent, blowing up the air mattress, collecting wood for the fire. We make a good team, something I really appreciate, because like with so many things about us, we just come together and fit so easily. As we eat dinner, steaks, asparagus, and corn on the cob that Jesse made on the grill, we chat a bit. But as we talk, my thoughts keep returning to what I'm eager to try tonight.
I can't believe I'm even considering it. I wouldn't have in any other relationship. Jesse's the first person who's stirred this desire in me in this powerful way. The past few days I've played with my hole quite a bit, trying to vibe it out, see if I'm comfortable enough to take things further. Jesse wouldn't do anything to hurt me, wouldn't push or rush me, I know that. And I notice I don't tense up the way I once did when he plays with my ass. That's probably one of the only reasons I'm even considering this. He respects my boundaries, these boundaries that I shouldn't have, that are only there because of my fucked up life. When we finish eating, we toast marshmallows for s'mores. Jesse gives me a little bit of hell for the fact that I like mine a lot darker than he does, and we find ourselves eventually lying on a blanket on the ground, gazing at the stars through the trees. I roll onto my side and rest my hand on his abs, just beneath his chest. This has been a really nice day, I tell him. It has. His white face has an orange glow to it in what remains of the campfire. We should do this kind of thing more often. Well, you know, that's what boyfriends do, Jesse says. Stuff like this. Boyfriends? Whoa, whoa. We never said we're boyfriends. His eyes widen and his mouth opens. He sits up quickly, studying me like he's thrown by my reply.
Are you fucking kidding me? We're talking about telling your son about what we've been doing, and you don't think we're boyfriends?
I assume this requires a discussion about whether we are or aren't boyfriends. Doesn't it?
Do we need a discussion at this point? Jesse asks.
I can tell he thinks I'm being absolutely ridiculous. No, I'm sorry. I'm being stupid. It's been a very long time since I've talked to someone about being in a relationship or consider that this was even a possibility. Hell, when I broke up with Casey, I swore off relationships altogether. Most of us swear off relationships after a breakup. Fair point. But you're saying you want to be my boyfriend, I query. He grins. It's like he's proud of something. I can't tell what. You want me to ask you, don't you? What?
You don't want to be the one to ask me. You want me to ask you. Why? Are you shy about asking me? Jesse asks.
I'm not shy about anything.
Do you think I'm going to reject you?
I know you won't reject me.
How do you know?
Obviously, if we're not boyfriends yet, there's a possibility.
Shut up.
He smirks a knowing smirk, like he understands this power he has over me.
Just admit it.
You want me to be the one to ask you?
I'll fucking ask you if you...
He interrupts with, be my boyfriend.
What? I'm not asking you,
Jesse says, that smirk transforming into a whimsical smile. Be my boyfriend. Damned if that isn't the most adorable way he could have done it. He leans toward me and cups the back of my head in his hand.
I take it that's what you want, then?
He asks. Us to be exclusive? To see each other, go to the clinic and get tested together, do all those things people do before they enter into a serious relationship? Because that's what I want with you, Eric.
I feel like I'm the one who's supposed to be saying this, I tell him. The older man, asking his young, inexperienced guy who's too fresh to have the confidence to push about something like this.
You can still say it, but I think it'd be a little redundant at this point, don't you?
He doesn't give me a chance to respond. He takes my lips, kissing me, and I relax into it before hooking an arm around him. There's a closeness and intimacy in this moment that feels so special, so sacred. In a way, his words tore through yet another barrier I've thrown up. He's so good at that. He's so good at a lot of fucking things, including taking my breath away, which he manages to do in an instant. He pulls away, his gaze drifting down to my mouth as though he's noticed. I avoid his gaze.
I like the side of you, Eric.
What side is that?
Sheepish.
I'm not fucking sheepish, I insist. Yet in a way, he does evoke that in me. Like this desire I have to bottom for him. He stirs something very different within me. I want to submit to him, and I can't wait any longer. I think I'm gonna head up to the showers and get ready for you, I tell him. And his smile, God, that smile, is enough to make me want to give this to him even faster. I'll clean up this mess we've made and be ready when you get back. I grab my backpack and head to the bathrooms at the top of the hill a few yards from our campsite. I hop into the shower, getting prepared, dreaming, fantasizing about what it will be like, him holding me in his arms, easing me into it. In a lot of ways, there's pressure on him to help me take back something I feel was stripped from me long ago. But I have confidence in Jesse, and in us, in what we share. There's this nervousness building within me as I inch closer to the moment I've been excited and terrified of since I first suggested the idea. But like with so many other things in my life, I know I have to push through the fear, face it head on. I'm ready to do that with him. I head down the hill, back to our campsite. He's cleaned up the beer bottles and plastic plates and cups and extinguished the campfire. I open the tent and see him lying, stretched out, naked over the sheets. He smiles the moment I bend over and step inside the tent, squatting as I zip it closed behind me. I'm shaking a little bit. Actually fucking shaking, like some sort of adolescent virgin. I remove my clothes and join him on the air mattress, lying beside him. A silence stretches between us, not uncomfortable or awkward. A special silence that seems to stress the importance of this poignant moment. Did you miss your boyfriend? Jesse asks me. Yeah, I missed him a hell of a lot. I lean toward him, and he comes at me with a kiss, puts his arm around me, and moves in closer, pressing his body against mine. I surrender so easily to him, rolling so that my back is on the mattress, him on top of me. I enjoy the pressure of his weight, how it feels to be underneath him. He puts his hand against my face and leans back. There's something in his gaze that's so warm and inviting. It makes me feel so open. He offers a soft kiss on my chin, such a strange spot for him to choose. Yet there's something so intimate about the way he kisses it. His lips move down my neck, and then he kisses his way down my body. The air mattress squeaks as he crawls toward the foot of the bed, and soon he's burying his face in my crotch, licking up my shaft, taking my cock into his mouth. There's something nice about knowing I'm the only dick he's sucked. I don't know why that is so satisfying to me, why I so selfishly want Jesse, need him. I keep climbing higher and higher, and then he releases my dick and slides his arms under my thighs, kissing beneath my balls down to my ass. I tense up immediately but try to relax, to trust in Jesse entirely. He licks gently, softly, the way I've done for him before. Yet I find my tension rising, escalating quickly, and the shaking becomes more severe. I try to still the discomfort, to mentally will myself to stop. You can control this. You can make it through this. For him. For you. For us. But a series of familiar sensations course through me, painful, crippling. As he rims me, my muscles tense up, and I arch my back, not in that satisfied way when a sexual impulse moves through me, but that horrible feeling of an anxiety attack. My skin flashes with heat and sweat builds across my face. I struggle to breathe, and thoughts that I'm used to dealing with on occasion flash to my awareness. I'm not with Jesse anymore. It's dark all around me, and I'm paralyzed, my wrists pinned down as I feel that pain, that intense, unbearable pain, and I'm screaming before I feel the hand over my face clasping over my mouth. It feels so real. I scream, thrashing about, and suddenly I snap out of it. And there's Jesse at the foot of the air mattress, moving back quickly off it. He looks totally thrown, freaked out even. I need to comfort him and assure him that everything's all right, but all I can do is shake and tremble. I'm paralyzed from my anxiety. I need a Xanax. I need him to get it out of my bag, but I can't even do as much to ask him that. I feel so vulnerable, exposed, and humiliated all at once. But I can hardly focus on the moment while my thoughts keep pulling me back to the experience I relived in such a horrifyingly vivid way. Another sensation sweeps over me, and I think I'm about to pull out of it, but instead I lean forward and vomit onto the mattress before me, still trembling, feverish. I hear Jesse say something as he moves toward me, but it all seems like a blur as he wraps his arm around me. I've ruined everything. It's all gone to shit. God, I hate myself so fucking much.
Jesse. What the fuck just happened? We were having such a good time. Eric seemed relaxed and eager. I knew there was something, some hang-up that was the reason why he snapped that first time I tried to go further, and while I was expecting that maybe there might be some tension or uneasiness, or that he would bail altogether, I couldn't have expected that reaction. I thought he was having a seizure the way he freaked out and started shouting and clawing around like he was fighting someone off. Even when he calmed down, I could tell he was still so fucking uneasy. When he finally managed to formulate words, he just said,
"My bag. Xanax."
I fished through and found the prescription bottle and a bottle of water. Through some talking and walking him through it, he managed to get one down. I lie beside him on the air mattress on the part I cleaned up after the incident. He's calmed down and is breathing shallowly, staring up at the top of the tent. He's been like this for hours. I don't want to bother him, but I don't want to leave him either. I asked him if we needed to leave, and he said very quickly,
"No, it'll pass."
This is all my fault. I shouldn't have pushed. Was it because he knew I was interested in topping that he forced himself to do something that made him uncomfortable? My guilt aside, there's the issue of what the fuck happened to Eric. Who did this to him? It doesn't take a fucking therapist to figure out that that's clearly connected with something horrible that happened to him at the hands of some motherfucker I want to find and beat the shit out of. Before, I thought it might have been the case, or that it could have been some strange personal quirk, but now I'm confident in my conclusion. I want answers, but at the same time, there's this awareness within me that this isn't something Eric wanted me to know. Surely, he thinks I don't have a right to pry about this. It's Eric's choice to decide whether or not he even wants to talk about that with me, even though we just today acknowledged we're in a relationship. I know that's a hell of a thing to try and discuss with someone. I hear him gulp. I'm on my side, rolled away from him on the mattress. I turn to him. It's the most noise I've heard come from him in the past hour. Maybe even more noise than I've heard since I checked my phone for the time. I've kept Eric's lantern on beside us. I haven't seen a reason to turn it off since I doubt either of us is getting sleep anytime soon. Not until I know for sure that he's okay. Not until he's able to assure me with more than the repeated mantra about it needing to just pass. "How are you feeling?" I ask. As the words move past my lips, they feel like the stupidest thing I could say, because I've asked that so many times since his breakdown. This time is different, though. He turns toward me, but doesn't make eye contact.
"I'm feeling better now," he says.
Relief washes through me. Some of the color has returned to his face, and he sounds much more lucid, more like his usual self. "Eric, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to stir up anything, and..."
"You didn't do anything wrong."
I hear the words, but I can feel his tension and uneasiness. He's still not looking me in the eye. How am I supposed to feel like I didn't do something wrong when he won't even look at me? Are you actually okay? Do you need anything else? I can get you some more water, or do you need something to eat? He shakes his head, tucking his face low to the sheet. He may be older than I am, but in this moment, he's like a sick child I'm trying to help. He won't let me know what he needs, and that's all I want. To help.
I'm sorry. His words practically choke in his throat. I didn't mean to ruin this weekend.
You didn't ruin anything, Eric. I'm sorry this happened. I was hoping this was going to be this lovely night, that I would be able to make you feel good, not the exact opposite of that.
You didn't do anything wrong.
Finally, he makes eye contact, which makes me feel a little better. Eric,
I don't want to talk about it.
He may say I didn't do anything wrong, and I keep telling myself that as I replay what happened over and over again, but it doesn't make me feel any better. Eric, I just... His face tightens up like he's worried I'm going to bring back all those terrible feelings that had him so crippled when we were messing around. No, I was just going to say that it's okay if you don't want to say anything. I don't want to make this any more painful for you. I do care about you, Eric. It's very clear you're not ready to talk to me about whatever it is, and I respect that. I don't want to make you feel like you have to talk about anything you're uneasy with. But I want you to know that I am here if and when you do decide to talk to me. I chuckle, not because there's anything funny, but because this whole situation is so goddamn awkward, I can't help it. Sorry, I say. There isn't exactly a manual for what I'm supposed to say, and I'm not very good at figuring out how to deal with this shit. Like, I'm being careful, even now. Trying not to say the stupidest thing imaginable. Just know I'm here, Eric. And I meant that when I said I want to be in a relationship with you. There are a lot of things that come along with relationships that aren't pretty. We're still learning about each other, and you're going to find out things about me you probably will hate. Not necessarily big, but things we still have to learn about each other. I want to learn more about you is all I'm saying, and I would never want you to feel like I'm trying to hurt you or push you to do something you don't want to do. I'm referring to sex and so much more. That instance wasn't just about me touching his ass, but about whatever nightmarish experience he endured, whatever has been haunting him long enough that something seemingly simple can still trigger it. Eric doesn't respond. He turns and looks up at the top of the tent. I lie back down. Did I ruin everything? Did my attempt at reaching out to him and being honest and open actually hurt him more? Maybe I should have worded it differently. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything and just let him take the lead on this. At the same time, I want him to know I'm there for him. There is this fear in my mind that we'll return home and that will be the end of it. I worry he won't want to be with me now that I've seen this part of him that he clearly doesn't want to acknowledge exists, and I really don't want it to be over. I roll away from him. It's the most space I can give him right now as we lie here awkwardly in the tent together. A tear forms in my eye. So fucking appropriate that our dream date would get screwed up in the most shit-tastic way possible. Whether I want to acknowledge it or not, it is my fault. I can't convince myself otherwise. After a few minutes, maybe even an hour, I hear Eric cough before saying, "Thank you, Jesse. Thank you for being here." Such a simple comment. But it gives me some hope that at least he knows, as shitty of a job as I might be doing of handling this, I care and am doing the best I can. I keep trying to go to sleep, but I can't shake out of my head the image of Eric breaking down. I see him turning white and shaking and convulsing. I see the panic and fear in his eyes. Who hurt you, Eric?
Eric. The drive back home isn't nearly as much fun as it was on our way to North Carolina. The frisky energy between us has dissolved, replaced with a coldness. It's been there since Jesse activated that intense, painful, uncontrolled flashback. It's not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong, but the fact that he's the one who stirred those feelings in me once again makes some part of me feel a certain resentment toward him. But more than feeling anything toward him, I despise myself. Even after all these years, so much fucking time, that bastard still has this effect on me. On the drive back, we listened to the radio. Jesse scanning for stations, not listening to his podcasts or rifling through the music selection in my phone. I appreciate that he hasn't pushed me to talk, though. I'm not ready to talk. As we reach my condo building, there's an awkwardness between us. I want him to go so I can recover, but there's a part of me that fears that if he leaves, I'll be pushing him out of my life forever, that this whole stupid situation will have fucked up everything we've started. We just started using the word boyfriend, and then this? It isn't fair. Although, when has life ever been fair to us? Do you need help getting your things? I ask him as I pull into my parking spot. No, I can get them. I guess some. I'll just go back to my place. His words, his tone, his demeanor, all lets me know that's not what he wants, but I'm not sure I can handle him in my space right now. I don't know how much longer the remaining discomfort from last night will linger. I feel numb and in such excruciating pain all at once. I think that would be a good idea, I say. As the words escape my lips, I realize how heartless they sound. I'm pushing him away, but I can't stop myself. These feelings that have overwhelmed me are so fucking powerful, inescapable. Do you mind if I come up to go to the bathroom real quick? Jesse asks. No, that's fine. I spit out. The innocence of his request, that he even felt he had to ask me, horrifies me. It tears through my defenses, my guardedness. We're too close for that. We've shared too much. I want to talk to Ty about our relationship, so certainly Jesse can come up to go to the bathroom. It seems surreal we're even having this discussion. Yeah, you can do that for sure. Let's go ahead and put your stuff in your car, I suggest. We do just that before heading up to my place. While I'm putting my stuff in my room, Jesse goes to the bathroom. I want to fall down and cry. I need to be alone. I haven't had a chance to let all the pain out because I felt like I had to keep it together for Jesse. I'm not used to not being able to run away from anyone I might affect when this feeling overtakes me. I need to keep it together a little longer. He'll be gone. I'll have my breakdown, and I'll reach out to him again. This'll pass. It always passes, I remind myself. But no matter how much I've reminded myself of that, it doesn't seem to do any good because what I know is temporary and will pass. Feels like it has always been this crippling. When Jesse comes out of the bathroom, I'm standing in the living room. It's like I'm waiting to usher him out as quickly as possible. I think he can sense that. I want to wrap my arms around him and let him know he didn't do anything wrong. At the same time, I don't want anyone to touch me because I feel so fucking disgusting. I didn't really need to go to the bathroom, he admits. Like when he made that request in the parking garage. Once again, I feel like he's broken through my defenses with his innocence. He can't understand how much I appreciate that, but I feel like it'll be better for both of us if he at least leaves for a little while. But what then? I can't tell him why that happened, yet I know he won't push. Just knowing that he knows something is more than I've had to deal with. I don't want to leave you right now, Eric. His voice is warm, His demeanor kind and inviting. I'll call you. It's nothing. You haven't done anything wrong. I just need some space to breathe. He approaches like he's going to offer a hug or a kiss. I raise my hand between us. I really do need a moment. And the expression on his face from my rejection. I can feel how wounded he is. It's not what I want. He doesn't understand this isn't about him. We're fine, I spit out. I just need to process this, okay?
Okay,
he says. Can I at least get a hug? I tear up. Yeah, you can get a hug. I thought I would feel gross and disgusting at the touch, but it actually makes me feel a little better. It's nice having him close to me again. Nice feeling his body. In a way, there's comfort in having him here with me. I'm not used to it. I've always done this on my own. As he pulls away, he looks me up and down before saying, okay, but call me and let me know you're okay. He takes my hand, squeezes gently, and kisses me on my cheek before turning and walking toward the door. Stop him. Don't let him leave. But a part of me knows it's best if I wait for this crippling feeling to pass. As I hear the door open, see him start to head out, something rises in me, and I say, I think almost inaudibly, don't leave me, Jesse. He stops in his tracks. I feared he might not have even heard me, that I wouldn't be able to get the words out loud enough, but he closes the door and turns to me. Please stay, I add. I can hear the pathetic desperation in my voice. He walks back to me. He moves in close, but not too close. It's like he's waiting for permission for me to know it's okay. I can't believe I'm asking him to stay, but the truth is I don't want him out of my life. Not now, not ever. Jesse's been the one amazing thing I've had in my life in a very long time, and I feel like if I let him walk out that door, I might lose that forever. It's not worth it. I would really like to stay, he says. I don't know how good of company I'm going to be. You don't need to be good company. I can just be here, and you can let me know when you feel better. We're both skirting around what he must know, what he must have figured out the moment it happened. While I don't like he's on to my secret, there's some catharsis in knowing the secret that's haunted me is out there, even though I haven't articulated it. At least someone knows that something is wrong and I'm not okay. I've never felt that way before. And as much pain as I'm in, I don't feel as alone as I usually do. Seeing the sadness in his eyes, his worry makes me push past the darkness, the toxic pain that seizes control of my body. I throw my arms around him, pulling him close to me. He tugs me closer, and I feel that same strength and security that is so familiar with him. I whisper against his ear, I'm fucked up, Jesse. It feels like a much deeper confession than it is. It feels good. It feels much better than that intolerable silence on our way back home. There's relief in sharing even that much. You didn't do anything wrong, Eric, and I'm here. I'm here for you. I can't keep up my front anymore. The tears start rolling down my face because of his words. More than the incident, there's a deeper understanding. I can hear that he knows what my hurt is about, even though I couldn't tell him about it right now if I tried. But knowing he's not rushing or forcing me, that he's just, as he said, here for me, feels so incredible. I weep. And it feels so fucking good, so much better than that numbness, than trying to be strong. Once again, I've lost control of my body, but in a way that feels less painful as the tears overtake me. He pulls me close, not saying a word, not needing to say a word, doing exactly what he said he would, being here. Please don't ask me, please don't ask me, I repeat. I don't even know why I'm saying it. I won't, he assures me. He doesn't realize that everything he's saying is so right for me. It's exactly what I need to hear. Like in all the time we've shared before this moment, I feel he understands me in a way other people can't. I feel so lucky to have him in my life, and so scared that I'm going to wind up pushing him away forever. Jesse. As the day wears on, I can see Eric's becoming more and more relaxed. He hasn't totally returned to his usual self, but it's clear he's not as disturbed as he was last night. Neither of us really slept, but how the fuck can I sleep after what happened? He said he was going to catch up on some work, so he's in his office. I assume he's really trying to recover. While he's occupied, I get on my laptop at the dining room table and perform various internet searches, typing in keywords like rape survivor and male rape victim. I feel guilty about doing this at his place, but whatever he's going through, I want to be here for him. No, I don't know the level of what happened, but I assume it was some sort of assault, some serious violation. I've felt that since that encounter in the shower, but now I'm fucking certain of it. I want to be able to give him what he needs. And even though whatever happened to him that caused him to react that way must be god-awful, in a way I'm relieved that now I understand the discomfort Eric was experiencing when I first touched his ass wasn't just some phobia. It's a deep wound. And now that I know, I hope there's something I can do to help him. Rape, it's something I've certainly heard plenty about throughout the course of my life. And I feel like I have the same limited education as the majority of the population. I've seen the mentions in the news, on and on, to the point where terms like sexual assault at times just seem like the norm for daily news. I've always assumed I've known someone who was a rape victim, but no one has ever confessed anything like that to me, and, well, still no one has. In my research, I find out a lot of facts about rape survivors, things I wouldn't have necessarily thought about, statistics I'd never learned before. While there are far more rapes perpetuated against women, there is a staggering number of men who suffer as well. Certainly, I knew it was an issue for men, but not to the degree it clearly is. I read on, then watch a few YouTube videos about triggers, a term I've heard used in conversations about rape, but I'm now considering in relation to what happened with me and Eric. From my brief perusal, it's clear people's experience with assault varies so much. Some people avoid sex after to minimize triggers. Some become hypersexual as an attempt to reclaim their power, and some have specific triggers during sex. The number of ways people have of responding to assault are as varied as the number of people who have been victims. Eric definitely hasn't avoided sex, but it's clear there are aspects he's avoided because of whatever happened to him. Whatever was done to him. That had to have been why he reacted the way he had to me rimming him. He typically avoids anyone messing around with his ass, and when I did, I activated some sort of flashback or something that pulled him back to feeling like he was trapped in that experience all over again. I discover a lot of information about post-traumatic stress disorder in rape victims. As I continue investigating, I find myself wondering about the extent of Eric's wounds. There are a lot of people who don't experience this once, but are repeat victims, sometimes at the hands of more than one perpetrator, often someone they know. The more I research, the angrier I become. How old was he? A child? In high school? College? Was it that bastard father of his? Who hurt you, Eric? What did they do? Why didn't they care that you were in pain? Whoever it is, I want to kill them for what they so selfishly did to this incredible, sensitive, compassionate man I've come to know. How can people be so fucking selfish? How can people be so cruel? As angry as I am about what's happened, and as disappointed as I am that what was supposed to be such a romantic weekend turned into something dark and twisted, I'm glad Eric didn't ask me to go. Not just didn't ask me to leave. He stopped me. If he wanted space, I was willing to give it to him, but I was so worried that whatever I ignited last night would be too much for him to handle, that he would associate me with that negative experience, not want to talk to me or open up about whatever it was,
that he would need to push me away, because it's obviously something he doesn't want to face. However, from what he said to me, I feel like there's a part of him that does want to talk about it, that he's carried